Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
It was a rough night for the Mets, as, I mean, what else is new here? Playing a good team and they get beat. I want to just let you know, I'm going to get Hoff involved here in just a moment, and we're going to talk about the schedules, the Giants and Jets, just break them down, have some fun with that as we look forward to the NFL season, which is somehow, you know, just months away. You don't want to rush the summer here away, but still, it's exciting to think about the NFL schedule. So we'll do that coming up in a minute. But here's the thing about the Mets, and you just see it on social media a little bit, and fans getting upset, and Hoff and I were just talking about it. Relax. I don't understand why Met fans are getting so angry with the team. By the way, we will interact with your comments. So Hoff, just let me know if there's comments in there about the Mets and we could have some fun talking Met fans off the ledge here. What'd you expect? I mean, the Mets weren't built to be good this year. Regardless of what Steve Cohen said, regardless of what David Stern said, they were not going to be a playoff team. Now, they fought. The 0-5 start was more of an indicator than anything else, probably. But the fact that they were resilient and bounced back from that almost immediately gave you some hope. We're in mid-May, and the season now starting to slip away a little bit. If not for that Brandon Nimmo, you know, walk-off homer on Sunday Night Baseball, which saved the Mets from getting swept by the Braves, they'd have lost the first three of four to the Phillies. And the disparity between the top two teams in the NL East and where the Mets are at could not be more clear, but we all knew that. It just got confirmed. And I like Carlos Mendoza a lot. I think he's been positive. I think there are some positives with this Mets team, but ultimately, what's there to be angry about? You get angry last year because you had higher expectations and they were lousy. This year, the expectations were lowered. I can't be angry at something that I expected. Now, what you can root for and hope for is that finally the Mets brass, whether it's Steve Cohen, David Stearns, realize something that we've been saying, let me rephrase it, something that I've been saying for at least a year after the, I don't want to call it a collapse, after they blew the division in 2022, then lost in the postseason the way that they did, it was clear that something needed to change. And then last year doubled down, you know, specifically with, you know, once Diaz goes down in the Worthless Baseball Classic and then the Mets go out there and have an awful year, it was at that point you realized that the core of this team needed to be changed. It's as simple as that. I've been talking about it for years with McNeil. Last year, the Mets themselves had Pete Alonso brought up in trade conversations. Yeah, I don't know how many times we got to say it. If the Mets and Stearns don't realize now that this core isn't it, I don't know what to tell you. But there's no need to get worked up and get excited about it. Like, what'd you think was going to happen? They're not as good as the Phillies. It's as simple as that. Hoff, I know you're obviously a diehard Mets fan. Are you bothered by this? I might have to put my, I know the glare here. I can't see anything with this, with the computers here. I can't, my eyes, they're horrible. So just deal with the glare, but go ahead.
My eyes are great, so I don't have that issue.
Well, right. It doesn't matter how bad your eyes are. We also know how bad the Mets have been. You're a unique Met fan in that I feel like you've been mostly positive this year, even with the expectations being lowered. Where are you at right now with this Mets team?
Well, but that's it. Like, my expectations were never going to be they're going to win the World Series. They're going to win the division. I'm just saying that they're going to fight for a playoff spot. That's what I thought. I thought they were going to be close to like a few games over 500.
Yeah, which they still could.
Listen, the season, they started off 0-5. I mean, they're going to go through ups and downs. It's gonna happen. I'm not happy about this bad stretch.
They've been the problem is they've been teetering for quite some time, and now it feels like – and now look, maybe tomorrow, you know, if you're listening to this on Thursday, today – as we record this live on Wednesday night, but maybe the Mets do avoid getting swept yet again and salvage that final game. It's been typical of what they're doing. And with Mendoza, they play hard. I think Carlos Mendoza has been the brightest spot, the brightest part of this entire season. I love him so far. So I think he's going to be great moving forward. I think he's been great this year and have faith in him moving forward. But the players are just not any, like, they're not any good.
Well, but here's the thing is you nailed it. You said, the evaluation process is here. Like, David Stearns and Steve Cohen are looking at this team. Dude, let's be serious. Billy Epler, you know, was not the guy to have in that position last year to really make significant changes.
Why? And Billy Epler was fine. Now, By the way, do you see all this stuff with Alderson coming out now?
I know. Well, Alderson, listen, he's a different cat too.
Yeah.
I like Sandy for a moment. I like Billy for a moment. But they don't do enough. David Stearns actually knows how to scout talent, to find players. And I think that putting him together with Steve Cohen, evaluating this team on the spot, like, he's going to see that Jeff McNeil is a scrub and he's going to go packing eventually. Mm. He's going to make that decision. Everyone sits there. Is Pete Alonso worth this, worth that? Is he going to be here? You know what? At the end of the day, I don't know what's going to happen, but David Stearns is going to make that decision. And for some reason, I trust him and Steve Cohen to make the right decision, whether it's the right decision.
Me too. But we all know that, like, significant change needs to happen. They're not, it's not going to, it can't be McNeil, Alonso, Lindor, Nemo again. It just can't
be. That's fine. But that's fine. And then all the other guys that are on this team, they're just role players right now. And role players are not significant players. Like, we go through it, like the Tyrod Taylors, the DJ freaking Stewarts, who last year people like, wow, this guy could make the roster. Who gives a shit? I want someone who could actually play 162 games.
You know, the Mets are closer to the Marlins in last place than they are to the Phillies in first place. So, I mean, it just – the Nats are ahead of them. They're now, again, four games under 500 as it started to get back to that low watermark, I guess you would say, this year. Look, maybe they find a way to get it done. They've been tough in certain regards. Just ultimately, they're just not good enough. I just don't understand, like why be angry right now? If you're a Mets fan, are you really angry? What do you expect from this team?
Only thing I'm angry at is for people – that are jumping like ship or getting crazy over it. That's what got me angry because no one thought in their right mind that this was going to be a World Series team. Who the fuck thought that? Oh my God, this Mets team is going to be a juggernaut. Sean Manaea is going to pitch no hitter after no hitter. Who thought that? Nobody did.
What's the Eagles on your shirt? You're wearing a shirt.
Oh, that's my wife's school, 721X. Shout out.
Okay.
Sorry. And Easter as well. By the way, there's some comments, by the way.
You have comments. We'll get to them in a second. Yeah. I believe in Steve long-term. This has nothing to do with long-term. Matter of fact, I believe in him even more after watching David Stearns operate that he has this year. But Mets fans need to relax. It's going to be a rough year. You knew that coming in. Maybe be happy that you got him to some enjoyment until mid-May. I can't expect this team to be exciting throughout the course of the season, but what could be exciting is when they start to make some moves at the trade deadline and then call some of the younger players up. All right, what do we got comments-wise here?
All right, from Sunil187, he's got two that are good to get.
I know Sunil. Yeah, go ahead.
Going into the season, most knowledgeable fans knew this year would be a struggling year. Correct. Cohen didn't buy this team to barely get by with a profit like the Wilpons. I have faith that he cares, but will do things thoughtfully and not impulsively.
Yes, and Sunil's correct. Sunil, by the way, a big Hulk Hogan fan. Did you know that, Hoff?
No, but now I feel like I want to rip my shirt off.
He became famous for... Well, don't do that.
No.
We want more viewers, not fewer. He became famous for crying when he met Hulk Hogan one day and talking about how he saved his life and all this stuff. Sunil's a good dude and a big Met fan. So, yeah, that's exactly the point, Sunil. You get it. The Mets are not trying to be mediocre here. They were trying to rebuild and evaluate while fielding, in their minds, a competitive team. I don't think that they fielded a bad team. I said that they had a good offseason. I like the move of Bader. You know, they brought in some pitchers, taking a flyer on some guys on a prove-it one-year deal. That's fine. J.D. Martinez, a late addition. He's been a real pro. And by the way, he's going to get them a nice piece at the trade deadline. He's going to be a valuable commodity to a team that actually is contending for a playoff spot. The problem to me was not the moves that the Mets made this year. The problem is the core. The core is the problem. Lindor, Nimmo, McNeil, Alonso. Obviously not having Alvarez hurts. You know, and obviously they're not getting great production from anybody else. Beatty and Vientos, the same thing. I know Vientos just got here. You give him a break and he was productive in his first game back. But it's the same guys who have been here. They're the problem.
But just to piggyback too, the same guys that have been here is a problem. But then on the other hand, too, all the prospects that we talk about that are coming up slowly, besides Alvarez, who's hurt, they haven't been significant, impactful either. Like, that's a problem. With Brett Beatty now, the second year of really giving him an opportunity, and he's coming up short.
Right.
Vientos finally makes the cut. We'll see how long it lasts. You know, we haven't really seen Ronnie Mauricio, and all these other kids that we brought in last year that we got all excited about are struggling or hurt in the minors. You know, it doesn't look great either, which is where I think David Stern's going to shine.
For the Mets, it's about the trade deadline. It's about the futures. It's about, you know, all those prospects coming up the ranks here and having them pan out. Right now, it's going to be about Christian Scott, so that'll be fun to watch. When we're done with the comments here, Hoff, then we will go to the schedule.
Yeah, we can move on to the schedule now.
Yeah, what, you get some nasty comments? So I know that we got...
Here we go. Robert Robb said, Cohen said, trade the team, boys.
Said what?
Trade the team, boys. Well, because he supposedly his comment on Twitter was basically, we can't do
it. Yeah, I can't even get into that. I didn't see it firsthand. I don't know if it's fake or not. Whatever. I mean, Steve Cohen's allowed to tweet whatever he wants. He's the owner of the team. So if he tweeted something and deleted it, whatever. You do the math. Steve Cohen is not stupid. He's very smart, in fact. So he knows what's going on. The Mets are you saw the offer as it was reported the other day that the Mets offered Alonso an extension last season at this time. He turned it down. He's not going to get more than that from the Mets. He's just not. He can't. Pete Alonso is likely going to be traded. J.D. Martinez will be traded. I wonder about Edwin Diaz being traded. Jeff McNeil has no value, but I still hope he gets traded. There's a lot that the Mets need to do to change this thing.
Well, that's one more comment. Level Up Podcast asked, how valuable is Alonso in the trade market if they stay 500? Is it worth it?
I would look to maximize the return. Now, again, I don't know what he's going to get on the open market. I do think it depends on how he plays from now till the trade deadline. But I'm not worried about making the playoffs because, to me, that's not going to accomplish anything. Yeah, great. You make the postseason. And then what? They need to rebuild the team anyway next year. So if you could expedite the process of rebuilding a team that could compete legitimately next year, I'd rather do that. And if they could get good value, I'm not just giving guys away. If you get good value for Pete Alonso, then you take it. If you feel like the value is not worth it and you'd rather keep him and make it run of the playoffs, I'm fine with that. But I personally would making the playoffs this year means nothing to me because I don't believe the Mets could do anything with it. Nor do I think they're actually going to make the playoffs anyway. All right, you want to do the schedule stuff?
Let's do it.
We'll do more on the Mets tomorrow, obviously on the midday show. We have a short show for you, but we'll do more on that.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster
faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
So the NFL schedule, everybody goes nuts with it. And Hoff, you got the Jets schedule up, right? I have the Giants. First thing I want to do, tell me how many times they play together at the same time here. Because that impacts, you know, New York football fans want to watch both teams. And now, look, if you're a fan of the Jets, you want to watch only the Jets. I get it. But a lot of people want to watch both teams. I hate when they play at the same time. Do you have – and the Giants start right out of the gate with 3 1 o'clock games, which is nice. Early, soft schedule for the Giants where maybe they could start to get, you know, play from in front a little bit, assuming health, at home against the Vikings, at Washington, and then at Cleveland. You expect at least 2 wins there. Did the Jets play at 1 o'clock any of the first 3 weeks?
They do, but they got a crappy schedule. I'm not going to lie about this. They started
the first three. I know Monday night.
Monday night start in San Francisco, so that's an 8:15 start. Then they go to Tennessee on week two Sunday. That's a 1 o'clock start. So
okay, so right out of the gate, yeah, right, yeah. Okay, so week two a conflict. Okay, good. What else?
And then week three is the Thursday night football game with New England.
I love that the Jets get the primetime game at home against New England. It just feels totally different. No Belichick. I know the Jets beat him last year, but it's different now where this should be demolition here. The Jets should take care of the Patriots. I know with the Jets, you never know. Thursday night football at home. This could be one of those finally celebratory atmospheres for the Jet fans after years of being beat down by the Patriots. You have a primetime home game that you should just absolutely wax them in.
Yeah, that's a great setup. But the problem is that they travel the first 2 weeks. They're quick turnarounds. It's 6 days in between with when they go Monday to Sunday, and then it's another short week going into Thursday. It's not a great schedule.
Who's the fourth opponent for the Jets? Let's do this in fours here. So we'll do fours. Good. What's the
got
fourth
it? Thing? So it's Denver. So they're home Denver at 1 o'clock on the 29th.
So all right, what do you think the Jets record will be after the first four games?
I think if they're 2-2, we're lucky.
I think they're going to beat New England. They'll beat Tennessee. I think the Jets could be 3-1 there. Giants are going to be 1. Giants are going to be at best 2-2. At best, they might be 1-3. What do you think for the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, listen,
Minnesota at Washington at Cleveland, home against Dallas Thursday night football.
They'll be 2-2. They own Washington, so that I'm not concerned about. And I have my doubts on Washington's defense this year. I think they could beat Minnesota, and then between Cleveland and Dallas, you know, they could be 3-1 if they could beat Cleveland, but Dallas, no chance.
All right, next four at Seattle. This is for the Giants at Seattle, home against the Bengals on Sunday night, and then home against the Eagles and Saquon Barkley. Then the fourth game at Pittsburgh. This is week 8 at Pittsburgh. Monday Night Football. That's a rough stretch too. Giants are lucky to get one of those. They better start 2-2. If the Giants don't start 2-2, they're toast. 2-2, that would get them to 3-5. I think the Giants are going to be 3-5 after 8 weeks.
Where do you see the win? in those four? I think they're going to Seattle. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough.
They'll beat either Seattle or Pittsburgh. I'll give them one there.
Okay.
But right. Definite losses at home to the Bengals and Eagles. I'd be stunned.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, Eagles are going to pounce them this year, too. For the Jets, they on week 5, they traveled Tottenham. So they're playing at Minnesota, quote unquote, 9:30 a.m. our time. Then Buffalo for a primetime game. It's at home. That's the Monday night game at home on week 6 at Pittsburgh. Again, another primetime game for them. So that's now. I don't know. Do you count the Tottenham as a primetime?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So it's 3 primetime games in a row, and then at New England, week 8 versus on Sunday, 1 p.m.
All right, so no conflicts there. What do you have the Jets' record being there? That's a tough stretch.
It is. So, again, I mean, Buffalo's going to be tough. I think, I mean.
Win.
Minnesota. European trip, no, that's the problem.
Yeah.
They're going to lose. Again, I think they're going to be 2-2 out of that stretch.
I mean, I'll probably give them 3 wins. What's the other ones again? Buffalo, Vikings, Pittsburgh.
And New England.
Yeah, they'll beat New England. They're going to be – the Jets are – I mean, I hate saying this because we feel like – I felt like this last year, but I do think the Jets could get off to a good start. All right, let's keep it moving here. I got shit to do. I got to watch the Vanderpump Rules reunion. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You have issues.
No, I love the show. Come on, are you kidding me? Have you seen Lala? She looks fantastic.
No.
Ariana, too. Yeah, check it out. Just trust me. All right, let's see. Washington, and by the way, no conflicts there, which is great. Okay, so we're at week 9 now. Washington, Carolina at home. This is where the Giants, that's the Germany game. Okay.
Yeah.
But this is where the Giants schedule softens a little bit. Home against Washington, Germany against Carolina, bye week, and then home against Tampa. They need to run the table there. That should be a nice 3-0. For the Giants. Will it be? Who knows? But that's what it should be there. What else? What do you got, Hoff, for the Jets the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, so I got, again, I have something kind of similar. They have Houston week 9 at home, another primetime game. And that's another 4 days in between. You're going from New England from week 8 at New England to a quick turnaround primetime game on Thursday. You have Arizona. You're going to Arizona week 10. Sunday 4:25, so that should be good, right? I think
mm-hmm.
And then Indianapolis again, another primetime game week 11, followed by the bye week 12.
So here we are going to week 13, and we have a lot of primetime games between the two teams and one conflict week 2. That is it. Week 2 they both play at 1:00. I love that so far. All right, obviously the Giants are on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys again. I hate it. I just hate the idea that we have to watch the Giants again on a major holiday. I mean, if Giant fans are into that, fine. I am not. It was nice the first time. It gets old real quick, especially when you're not on the same level as those teams. Look, can anything happen? Sure. Your Thanksgiving would be even better if you could beat the Cowboys. I don't anticipate that, but just because I don't anticipate that at this particular point, I mean, it is freaking May. Who knows? But still, the idea that you got to play on Thanksgiving, it just happened 2 years ago. Let it simmer. I mean, my God. Anyway, and then you got home against the Aints, home against the Ravens, and week 16 at the Atlanta Falcons. Those would be the next 4. I'm going to give the Giants at best 2 wins there, at best. And that's the Giants, I don't know if it's just I don't believe in the Giants or they have a brutal schedule, but that is not easy there. What do you got for the Jets there? Or give me your thoughts on the Giants, then give me the Jets real quick.
Yeah, I see one win. I see that they could beat the Saints. They almost beat them last year, but they fell off the face of the earth. But I think they could win that game. I don't see more than a 1-3 start right there, 1-3 stretch right there. This is at a point where, by the way, just a reminder, flex scheduling starts like week 17, week 11, yeah. I mean. So a lot of these games, they say 1:00 starts. They're all 1:00 starts the rest of the way for the Jets, but they could be flexed.
So week 14 is a 1:00 start?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's another conflict. That sucks. Week 15, 1:00 start?
Yeah.
Who are they playing? Those two weeks?
Miami, week 14, and Jacksonville. They're both at Miami, at Jacksonville.
No good. That's 3 conflicts. And then what about week 16?
Week 13 is Seattle at 1:00, and then week 16 is home versus the Rams. So week...
At 1?
Yeah.
And then it's TBD for the Giants time-wise. Those are the games that could be either Saturday or Sunday, I guess, right? Because the NFL is going to play on Saturday.
December
29th versus the Colts. And then at the Eagles, they close out with the Eagles.
So they have the Giants have a TBD next to their name?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't have the time on that. The day it says Sunday. I saw the Jets might have been either Saturday or Sunday. What does it say there on your – I'm looking at the ESPN schedule.
On the Jets – okay, see, on the Jets schedule, it says Sunday at Buffalo. That's week 17, 1:00. Miami 18 is a TBD all the way around. No day, no
time, right, okay, nothing. Okay. That's the one I saw that I was thinking of. So Giants it looks like locked in on Sunday, just TBD against the Colts, week 17, and then at Philadelphia, Sunday, January 5th. All right, so I'm just going to go over it real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm being lenient here. 8. I don't see any way the Giants win more than 9 games. I don't even know if they're going to win more than 8. I just don't see it.
I have them at 7.
You have the Giants at 7?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What two extra wins do you have?
I'm just being generous. Minnesota, Washington, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina, Tampa. That's 7 right there. New Orleans, 8. They could beat Atlanta, Indianapolis. I mean, but I just – obviously, it's not all going to happen. Yeah, I think the Giants are probably an 8-win team. You have 7? What do you have for the Jets? 7.
For the Jets, let's see. I got – let's go. I'll give them Tennessee. I'll give them Tennessee. I'll give them New England. I'll give them Denver. That's 3-1.
I think the Jets could win 13 games. Sounds nuts, right?
Yeah.
6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I could see them winning 10 games.
8, 9, 10, 11. I'm going to say the Jets win 12 games this year. That's going to be my prediction.
I have them at 10 because I'm tossed up with the Minnesota game. I just hate those trips. Those are always stinkers. You know, they should. Let me put it this way. I think the Jets should actually beat Minnesota on paper anywhere they play except overseas.
So the May predictions for the NFL season so far, Jets 12 wins. I'm going to give the Giants 8. All right. Are we done here?
Yeah. Why not? Anything else you want to say? You want to say that the Yankees are winning the World Series?
The Yankees look great. I mean, Minnesota should disband, but the Yankees look great. And then we got to see how they do against Baltimore. Stanton's been great. Judge looked great tonight. What's there to say? I mean, they've been beasts. It'll get interesting when they play the Orioles again and see if they could do this against the O's. And obviously, it's all about the postseason. And you're waiting for Dominguez to come back and see how they're going to work everything out with that. But Yanks right now are rolling. They're a machine. Thank goodness for them, because I don't know how much baseball we're going to have on the other side of town.
Ugh, it's going to be terrible. All right, I'm heading out of here.
All right. All right, that does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. Thanks for interacting. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening and downloading wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Download, rate, subscribe, as a matter of fact, wherever you get your podcast. Also, hit us up, WFAN Gmail at, WFANDaily@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions, comments that you may have for any upcoming mailbag episode. Want to be more interactive here, have some fun with you guys, just like, you know, the radio show. All right, that does it for us. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?